I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change. Well, should I give it to the man's a question in my brain. What's gonna happen if I give the man a dime? I don't want to pay for another brother's wine.
Good evening. This is 90.7 on your FM dial, KBOO, your community radio station. My name is Michael Anderson, and welcome to Hole in the Bucket. This is KBOO's show on poverty, homelessness, healthcare, and all the issues surrounding those. We have a good show tonight in two parts. The first part will be a discussion with Jean-Pierre Kofi Dassou, who will be talking about poverty in the country of Togo in West Africa. And then after the break at the bottom of the hour, we'll come back with Jay Thiemeyer interviewing Brian Lindstrom, a documentary filmmaker who is currently working on a film called Alien Boy. So let's get right into today's show. Good evening, Jean-Pierre. How are you?
I'm fine. Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining us in the studio. So to start with, for our listeners, tell them a little bit about Togo. Where is it located? How many people live in the country?
Yeah, thank you. Togo is a country in West Africa. It's located east of Ghana and west of Benin. And in the south, there is the Atlantic Ocean. The population of Togo is about 6 million. And Lomé is the capital city. It's about 1 million persons living there. And, most activities, industrial and business and governmental activities, are concentrated in Lomé, the capital city.
But a lot of the rest of the country is very rural and also very poor.
Yeah. About 70% of the population live in poverty, and mostly in rural areas.
So I think for our listeners to understand a little bit about the realities of poverty in Togo, maybe it would help to start a little bit by letting them know what is life like in the rural areas, in the villages.
In the villages, almost everybody goes to farm. They grow their living products, maize, corn, cassava, yams, and other vegetables. And every morning they wake up and go to their farms and come back in the evening. There is no pump in the villages. The roads are not good. They are not paved. No electricity, no telephone. So those are the main elements I can mention how people live. But they wake up every day and go to their farms. They work every day and come back home to eat and sleep.
So, in other words, it's a very taxing life. It's the work just for survival is an everyday affair.
Yes, it's everyday affair. It's everyday affair, and if the weather is not good in a year, then their situation gets worse because they will not have enough food to eat, and it's difficult to save food. Their crops is very difficult to save because they don't have the facilities.
Now, part of sort of a societal response to this difficult living situation is something that we're seeing around the world, where there's been a migration of people from the rural areas to the city. Talk about that, especially how that's in some ways where Togo has its homeless population.
Yeah, although people live in poverty in rural areas, the population is growing fast. And many people believe that they will go to the cities, especially Lomé, the capital city, to improve their life conditions. And according to a government official recently, about 150,000 people leave the rural area every year to the city. And it's very, very it has a very significant pressure on cities to accommodate those the migrating populations. The government doesn't have enough money to build affordable houses for the people who come to from rural areas. And when they come to the cities, they don't find the job that they are looking for. And their situation gets worse. They are forced to live in very difficult situations. And some of them become drug addicts. The girls get into prostitution to make some money to live every day. And the young men sometimes to get involved in theft and other type of violence.
Because there are not the economic or job opportunities that they had come looking for. Mm-hmm. Why do people come to the city? Why do they get the impression that there are jobs there if the jobs aren't really in existence?
Yeah, it's because those who live in rural and in the cities, when they go back to the villages, they seem to be well living, and that impresses the people in the rural areas. So they decide to go and look for the same opportunity. And to get a job in the city, you have to be qualified to be trained to have some skills, to go to school or have some degrees. But those coming from the rural areas don't have those skills and knowledge. So they don't, even if there is a job, they can't get it because they don't have the skills. So they can find day laborer jobs, maybe at the port or in some industrial areas, but not all the jobs that they can get, they can access.
That's something that's very similar to what we have here, which is many of the people who are living on the margins in Portland also look to day labor or other opportunities to find some way to earn some income to get by. One of the things that I wonder about when people come to Lome, if you don't have a place to live, where do people wind up? What are their options?
Yeah, some of them go to their relatives. But if their relative doesn't have enough space for you, then they try to build some houses with some old zincs, for instance, boxes and wood in some remote areas. So the homeless people live together in those areas. They don't have water, they don't have electricity, the living condition is very, very bad. So, they live there. And if by chance some of them find a job, they improve their living conditions. If they find a job, they can move from that area to rent a house, and then start living a better life.
So this impromptu housing that people build out of cardboard and other materials, wood. Is that permissible by the city? Is it something that has official sanction to exist?
It's not permissible by the city, but because the city doesn't have a solution for them, they just look at them, because if they destroy those slums, they don't have anything to offer them. So mm-hmm. They just leave them as is. And it's only when the people living in those slums get involved in crimes, then the police can go and look for them. But if they don't get involved in any crime, they live there in peace.
This is one of the things that I think is quite fascinating and very different, the way we handle things here in Portland and in general in the United States as compared to Togo. What I hear you saying is the government looks at it and says, well, we don't have an alternative for these people, so it might not be the good living situation, but we will let them be unless they commit a crime. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, increasingly there are rules and laws that criminalize being that poor. In other words, you don't need to commit a crime, but if you are in Portland sleeping on the sidewalk, that can become a crime. Mm. So that seems like a big difference from in Togo.
Yeah, there is no social or legal discrimination against those people. If you live in those areas, even if you don't have a house, you can have access to the public service. You can even register to vote, and those people are very active in elections period, because they expect that the new government will help them improve their situation, so they get involved in elections. So they can register to vote, for instance. They can have their identity cards, and they have access to the public service. And this, the society doesn't discriminate against them. If you live, you don't have a house there, you can find your relative and you meet together. And the only problem is the relative may not be able to help you, but at least you live together as a community. Because it's like in the village. In the village, usually, you don't see homeless people.
So, when you talk about the public services that are available, to what degree does the government have services that help people in poverty?
That is very limited. It's very limited because the government always claims a lack of money to help them in their speeches. They promise, but they don't have money. They said, oh, the economic situation is not good, so we don't have money to help them. But for instance, if there are recruitments, those who are qualified but they don't have house, they can be recruited in the public service.
To get a job. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once you have the degree but you don't have a place to stay, you can be recruited. You can take the test, the civil service test, and if you pass, you are recruited.
It's a fascinating thing to think about in a country that is much more familiar with poverty, that there isn't the same social stigma that we have here against people who are poor or people who are homeless. Oftentimes, if you look in the newspaper or the TV here, we see that the poor are often demonized. They're portrayed as criminals, whether or not they've committed a crime. In general, not for relatives, but general people who are living in Lomé, how do they view the slums and the people who are living in them?
They know that they are poor. They don't have means to have a better house, but they are considered as citizens, regular citizens like everybody. And there is no social discrimination, unless you are a criminal. If you commit a crime, then people will start
treating you differently.
But if you don't commit any crime, there is no problem.
And again, this is speaking somewhat generally, but when we look at the people who are experience homelessness in the United States, often we see seniors and old people with limited incomes or no income, people with disabilities oftentimes, and then increasingly in Oregon, but I believe it's across the country too, we've seen families with many children where the parents don't have a good job, that the whole family would become homeless. We also have some youth who are homeless, perhaps their family, they were in a dangerous situation, or for whatever reason, they left their family. Is there a general demographic description of who would be homeless in Lomé or who's living in the slums?
No. It's in Lomé, it's very difficult to make the difference between a homeless person in the street during the day. It's very difficult to make the difference because there are so many people in the streets doing their business, including the homeless people and the beggars and some mental sick people. But it's maybe only in the night that if you go, you go to the street and you see that, oh, these people are not in the house. Maybe they are still in the street. But it's always difficult to make the difference between them during the day in the street.
Mm-hmm. What about families? Do, when people come from the rural areas, do people come with their whole family? Is it usually just certain family members? Are there, you know, families with young children living in these slums?
Yeah, some of the those children are born in Lomé, in those slums. But usually the man will come to Lomé and try to find a job. Once he finds a job, he'll bring the rest of the family in Lomé. But sometimes they'll lose their jobs. And if they are unable to pay their rent, then they become homeless because they are
evicted.
Evicted from their house. Then they become a whole family homeless. And then if by chance they find another job, then they will be able to rent a house. So you'll see a few whole family homeless people. But and some young people who are born in Lomé and they grew up in Lomé, and so they can't go back to their village anymore because they prefer to be in Lomé and doing some labor jobs and live on a daily basis. So it's
So you are listening to KBOO 90.7. I am Michael Anderson. This is Hole in the Bucket, and we are talking with Jean-Pierre Kofi Dassou about Togo, West Africa, and poverty in Togo. One of the challenges to people who are made vulnerable by poverty is human trafficking.
Yeah.
Talk about how the human trafficking in Togo and what that situation is.
Yeah, the human trafficking in Togo is common. Many people are trafficked from the rural area to the cities. Usually they promise them to find them a job in the cities, and once they arrive in the cities, they are exploited. They work and they don't get paid. So those are considered as trafficked persons. External trafficking is also common. They are trafficked from the rural areas or from Lomé to other countries like Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, and even Europe sometimes. In Africa, in Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire, they are trafficked there to work in farms. And most of them are children. They are under 17. Some go to Gabon, and every year there are many children returned from Gabon, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire to Togo, and they are trafficked victims. And the poverty is the main reason, because the parents in the rural areas are unable to feed their children, they are unable to send them to school, they are unable to take care of their health problems. So traffickers come to the rural areas promising to improve the children's situations. But the parents are always aware that their children will be traveling, but they are not aware that they will be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
So they participate in the whole process. It's only when the government arrests the traffickers and then the parents realize that it was a mistake. My children have been victims of trafficking.
Because the parents are enticed by false promises of opportunity. And
yes. Yeah.
Yes. So another thing that you touched on, but I'd be interested to hear more, is many of the people who are homeless in the United States have a mental illness. What is the perception of people with mental illness in Togo?
Usually the mental illness people are taken care of by their families. So although the government doesn't do anything for them to help them, their families usually take care of them. If the person is violent, then it's very difficult for the family to control him. But mm-hmm. if the person is not violent, he or she can stay with their families. But if they don't have a family in Lomé, and it becomes very difficult. So you see them in the streets, but nobody mistreat them anyway.
Generally speaking, again, is that people consider them as equals. They are just people who are suffering.
Yeah, they are people who are suffering. And you'll see some people donate, giving them money to eat and some food and sometimes clothes in the streets.
One of the things that we have in the United States, and I think it's something that's been very prevalent in Europe for at least 100 or so years, are shelters, places that can take in a large number of people who don't have a place to live or stay. Is there something equivalent to that in Togo?
No, it's not. It's not because the government doesn't have any program for that. They have some agencies to take care of those issues, but the agencies always complain that there is no money because mm-hmm. they have budget constraints.
Do religious organizations do anything around helping alleviate the poverty? Or
yeah, there are many religious organizations. I can mention Catholic Relief Service and Terre des Hommes. What else? Some ADRA is Adventist Development mm-hmm. Relief Agency, and some other religious organizations, non-profit organizations that help the communities sometimes to develop income generating activities, especially women, because women usually are in charge of the children, and they help them organize themselves to have some income generating activities. And some of the organizations help the children by paying their school fees. Mm-hmm. So that they stay in school instead of going to work or to be trafficked. And some are involved in health assistance. They provide generic medicines to some population and so on.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Our time is almost up. One of the things in closing that I have as an observation is I am very much struck by how the sense of family and community bonds being much stronger in Togo, despite the fact that, or maybe because of the fact, that poverty is much more prevalent and well-known throughout the country. I know that you visited the United States several times. You've moved here recently. But what does it strike you about the United States in terms of that change, that we tend to have a more institutional response to poverty instead of community response?
Yeah, I realize that people are very attached to their individual freedom. So there is a difference between how people live in community here than what is in Africa, especially in Togo. I don't see the community life that that exists in my country. So it's something difficult because the government is unable to take care of everybody, and if the community and the neighborhood does not exist, then it's difficult for the individual to solve some of their problems. So it's
well, we're gonna close this segment by playing some music from King Mensa. Do you want to say a few words about King Mensa, and then we'll go into a song called Dodi?
Yeah, King Mensa is a very famous Togolese artist. He promotes community lives, solidarity, especially to protect the children. He is even the owner of a center that takes care of abandoned children, helping them to go to school, and also organize helping them take care of their social health problems. So King Mensa is a very good artist and also a generous person.
Well, good. Well, now we will take it away with Dodi by King Mensa.
When if I cross one low place, you know, let me not let you know. I'm a deck of mathematics, no, I've been more. On top of me, anymore. He had a piano to a lesson, the term of son of Yahoo. Ati no akwe ade kama dokwa ya makolo eti toto e wona no ka ha woi wo uma o be vi nya kata mini uma o me da mere ka be na pa pa ya olo sema nya be ka me ya makolo la mesaka akwe jijika. Magbano fabiwa na na bena.
Mucho proyali modi panalo wabu. Mucho proyali modi panalo wabu. Mucho proyali modi panalo wabu. Mucho proyali modi panalo wabu.
Atinua pe ade kama do paya mafolo, eti do e wananu.